Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Residents of five neighborhoods northwest of Fairbanks have been notified to be ready to evacuate as a nearby wildfire intensifies. The ready evacuation notice issued by the Fairbanks North Star Borough is for the Martin, McLeod, Murphy, Perfect Perch, and Lincoln subdivisions and areas along the Chattanooga River corridor. The Shovel Creek fire burning near Murphy Dome has been the focus of intense suppression efforts since it was started by lightning Friday. A state management team assumed control of operations yesterday following 2 days of wet weather. Team Information Officer Sarah Sarlo says the fire became active again Monday afternoon.
The winds picked up, the fire got some sun on it, and we did see some movement pushing the fire east over the 7 Mile Trail, and that's a place that we were holding it.
Sarlo says the closest neighborhood is a couple miles from the fire and prompted notification of area residents to be prepared in case there's an actual evacuation order.
Have that awareness and put that in the front of your mind and start to think about what you would need to do if you were to move to the next mode.
Sarlo says the incident management team has air and ground firefighting resources at its disposal to combat the blaze.
More boots on the ground, and then also be able to manage more aviation resources, more helicopters, tankers.
Over 170 firefighters are currently deployed on the Shovel Creek fire, and an effort is underway to cut a saw line around the 600-acre fire's perimeter. The Shovel Creek fire is among 15 staffed wildfires in the state and one of three major response efforts. The others are on the 37,000-acre Swan Lake fire on the Kenai, where 383 firefighters are working, and on the 310-acre Caribou Creek fire off Chena Hot Springs Road, where 159 firefighters are deployed. Numerous smaller blazes getting attention are in the eastern interior Denali region and several in the Yukon Flats. Alaska Fire Service spokesperson Beth Ipson says suppression efforts are focused on protecting populated areas, infrastructure, remote cabins, and native land allotments, and that requires responding to nearby wildfires while they are small and manageable.
Because later on, as the dry and warm conditions continue, that will get a lot harder to do because it'll dry the deeper layers out, and then you'll get that deep burning.
Ipson says the frequency of new starts sometimes causes firefighters to move to new incidents before all work is completed, but she says they will return later to mop up. Two passengers killed in a small plane crash near Seward last week have been tentatively identified. Alaska State Troopers say 42-year-old Michael Timmer and 43-year-old Tracy Timmer, both of Michigan, died in the June 21st crash of a helio courier near Little Johnstone Lake. The pilot of the plane also killed in the crash was previously identified by troopers as 63-year-old Kim Sibbett of Fairbanks. The crash is under investigation. State legislative leaders have decided to hold a second special session in Juneau, defying Governor Mike Dunleavy's choice of Wasilla. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that floor sessions will take place in the state capitol, while most meetings are held at the Anchorage Legislative Information Office. State law says governors can choose the location of a special session they call, but Senate President Kathy Geisel and House Speaker Bryce Edgman say the majority of both chambers consider it their right to determine the location, citing a section of the Alaska Constitution that says the capitol shall be in Juneau. Dunleavy spokesperson Matt Shuckero says the legislature's decision not to hold the session in Wasilla is part of a pattern.
They have a hard time following the law when it comes to a variety of issues. The PFD, they won't follow the law. When it comes to per diem, we've very clearly seen that they don't want to follow the law. And now when it comes to a special session, they don't want to follow the law.
Dunleavy put one item on the special session agenda, an appropriation bill to set this fall's permanent fund dividend amount based on a calculation set in a 1982 state law. Geisel and Edgman asked the governor to add the capital budget and long-term issues related to the future of the permanent fund to the agenda. The leaders say they believe the legislature should call itself into session, but are one vote short of the 40 needed to do so. Dunleavy has said Wasilla is a more accessible location, but lawmakers have noted that a 2015 session in Anchorage had little public participation, and they've also said that Gavel, Alaska is only prepared to televise floor sessions in Juneau. The Yukon River Summer Chum Salmon Run is coming in weak. The preseason outlook was for between 1.2 million and 2 million chums, but state management biologist Holly Carroll says the actual return will come nowhere close to that.
And in fact, the run is tracking below the lowest years we saw, which were in 2000, 2001. Those years would have barely or not met the current escapement goal that we have for summer chum, which is 500,000 to 1.2 million.
65,000 summer chum have been counted at the river's mouth through yesterday, compared to over 100,000 by the same date in the poor years of 2000 and 2001. Carroll adds that timing of this year's summer chum return is also well off mark.
The run is so unprecedented late. It's 9 days late at least, that it's pretty hard to think that it could ever catch up at this point.
As a result, Carroll says no commercial fishing for summer chums is being allowed on the Yukon. Meanwhile, the Yukon King Salmon Run is tracking on the low side of the preseason outlook of between 168,000 and 241,000. The return is in line with last year, and Carroll says subsistence harvest restrictions aimed at meeting Canadian border escapement are again in effect. She cautions this year's Chinook management could be complicated by the weak return of overlapping summer chums.
Normally, we would start to relax the lower river for kings, and we may need to consider keeping some restrictions in place just for chum. And that's a real unusual situation.
Carroll says the summer chum run normally easily supports subsistence harvest. She notes that summer chum primarily return to the lower river, and border escapement is not an issue. F-35 fighter jets will be among planes showcased at an upcoming air show at Eielson Air Force Base. As KUEC's Tim Ellis reports, the July 13th Arctic Lightning Air Show will be the first at Eielson in 11 years.
The air show will feature many types of aircraft, both on display and in the skies above Eielson. Base officials think the plane that'll likely be the main attraction, the F-35, may draw as much interest when it's parked as it will in the air.
The F-35 plane itself and the aerial maneuvers that it can do, you know, is great, it's fantastic. But a really interesting thing about the F-35 is all of the sensors and optics that it has to kind of, I think you would say, digest the battlefield and what's going on.
Eielson spokesperson Lieutenant Kitsana Duanlam Chan says base officials expect there'll be a lot of interest in the F-35 because the Air Force is moving two squadrons, or about 54 of the advanced warplanes, here in less than a year.
People will get to meet with the pilots, they'll get to meet with the air crew, they can get autographs, they can get photos. It's really just the community's best chance to come and see this plane that's going to be here starting in April of 2020.
Duanlam Chan says the F-35 will show off its capabilities as part of a demonstration team that will include other aircraft, including the venerable F-16 that area residents are accustomed to seeing and hearing, especially during exercises like Red Flag.
We've got a lot of F-16s on base, so maybe instead of seeing it fly over your house in Fairbanks, North Pole, Salcha, or Delta, you'll be able to come on the base and see it a little more up close and personal as far as what aerial maneuvers that can do.
Some of those acts of aerial daring do by fighter jets will be accompanied by ground maneuvers during a sort of mini mock battle called the Joint Forces Demo to be conducted on the Eielson flight line.
Ground forces, aerial forces, F-35s, F-22s, F-16s, helicopters, people fighting on the ground, you name it, it's going to be happening. And I think the cool thing about that is it's going to be kind of like a simulated Red Flag exercise scenario.
Other attractions include skydiving team performances, drone surveillance aircraft, vintage warplanes, even old Soviet-era surface-to-air missiles. The Arctic Lightning Air Show is free and open to the public. It begins at 8 a.m. July 13th and runs through the afternoon. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.